The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Tuesday edition. Two of us. Two for Tuesday, me and Dom. Welcome to the show, little buddy.
Hey, Crudy, good to be with you. Rich as well, working hard on the board. Technically, there's three of us here, but I'll count you, Rich. Two for Tuesday. Welcome to it, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, there are several intriguing headlines to start today's big show. I like this one. I'm leading here. All Democratic right. lawmakers seek criminal investigation of Justice Clarence Thomas.
Oh, no.
I think our audience deserves some good news for a change, Dom.
Yes, yes, yes. So maybe the wife, too.
Two Democratic U.S. senators announced today that they are seeking a criminal investigation of Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas over gifts of travel, loans for a recreational vehicle, and other benefits he received from, let's call them wealthy benefactors, or a sugar daddy, if you will, Dom. Senators Sheldon Whitehouse and Ron Wyden said they sent a letter, they're both Democrats, they sent a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland last week requesting he appoint a special counsel to probe whether Thomas violated ethics, false statement, and tax laws. And the action marks a significant escalation in the efforts by Democratic senators to address ethics controversies related to Thomas in the court in recent years. Now, White House's staff said it was likely the first time anyone had requested a special counsel investigate a Supreme Court justice. White House sits on the Senate Judiciary Committee, while Wyden chairs the Senate Finance Committee. What do you think about this, Dom? This guy's, getting most of the gifts being given to the court, talking about Clarence Thomas, over $4 million and counting.
Yeah, man, yes.
I don't know. For whom is $4 million not a significant amount of gifting?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Of course, it was over the course of many years, and, you know, he's got lots of rich friends. It's... How do we know it's not bribery? You know, I mean, he's given, is he claiming it as income? I mean, these are certainly questions that should be asked, but do you have to have the senator, the politics of it, or should there be a legitimate, investigation from a prosecutor into this without having to do this? And I get it, a special counsel perhaps, but come on. Yeah, no, it's a no-brainer, man. Guy has $100,000 in his freezer in cash. There's probably something going on there, right? They were investigated for that, Jefferson back in the day. And look at who's the other cat? The Democrat who's caught with the gold bar.
Menendez.
Right. Yes, of course. Those are seemingly obvious kinds of things that, it's not a crime to have a gold bar, but given the circumstances, given what we know, what is public information, certainly there's questions to be asked. And if you don't get someone under oath or someone with some authority behind it, it's just you and me talking on the radio, dude.
Here's a joint statement from White House and Wyden. We do not make this request lightly. The evidence assembled thus far plainly suggests that Justice Thomas has committed numerous willful violations of federal ethics and false statement laws and raises significant questions about whether he and his wealthy benefactors have complied with their federal tax obligations.
Oh, I'm sure they have. Come on. It's a write-off, Jerry.
Now, Thomas and his attorney, Elliot Burke, did not immediately respond to requests for comments, but Burke had said previously that Thomas tried to comply with financial disclosures of gifts and travel as they existed at the time.
I tried.
Justice Thomas's strived. He strove. He strived for full transparency and adherence to the law, including with respect to what personal travel needed to be reported. Burke, again, this is Thomas's attorney, said in a statement last year, he described any disclosures or failures to disclose travel as strictly inadvertent. You got a half a million dollar yacht trip, dude. Oh, I forgot about that one.
My bad. White House and White said they wanted a special counsel to examine a $267,000 loan Thomas used to purchase a luxury motorhome coach in 1999. An investigation by the Senate Finance Committee concluded a substantial portion of the loan from Thomas's friend and businessman Anthony Welters was forgiven in 2008. The committee found Thomas failed to report the loan on his financial disclosure forms, raising questions about whether he reported it as income on his taxes as required by law. White House and Wyden said they have not received adequate answers from Thomas about how he handled the matter. Thomas has not previously commented publicly on the loan, but Welters told the Post last year he believed Thomas had satisfied the loan. Senators also want special counsel to investigate multiple instances of jet travel, yacht trips, home renovations, tuition, luxury sports tickets, lodging, and other gifts that Thomas did not disclose on his annual financial forms. The gifts were reported in a series of articles by ProPublica last year. Many of the items were paid for by Harlan Crowe, the Texas billionaire, Thomas' friend and major Republican donor.
Just so you know, Dom, what was the accusation? $267,000.
Yes.
Over $250,000 for an RV. And the federally acceptable cap on gifts, even to spouses, even if you threw them both in, is like $34,000 a year. This would be in excess of federal gift regulations, which are permitted tax-free. This would be a taxable circumstance in almost every possible viewpoint, Dom. The man is a tax fraud, allegedly.
Oh, but not just him, Crudy. Also, the senators want the special counsel to probe $25,000 in consulting fees that were directed to Thomas's wife, Virginia Ginny Thomas. Ginny! By conservative judicial activist Leonard Leo. The payment was first disclosed by the Washington Post last May. Some ethics experts said it raised questions about whether Thomas should have recused himself from certain cases. Neither Clarence nor Ginny Thomas responded to requests. Yada, yada, yada.
Come on, man. Harlan Crowe had business before the court, or at least companies he owned indirectly had business before the court. I didn't see Thomas recusing, and that guy bought him a freaking $250 million RV.
Well, Ginny was like mass emailing people, legislators, trying to pressure them to overturn the election, man. That's Ginny. That was her job.
She was also texting the president, chief of staff, Mark Meadows, if you'll recall.
She had access to the top. Of course she did. And no problem. That's all good, according to how the Republicans want to live this life.
844-967-2789. Totter Billy on the north side. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Totter Billy.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. My thinking on the Supreme Court is my guess is that they think of themselves just as immune, just like the president. They just handed down this ridiculous immunity decision. Now I'm not sure how you would construe Thomas's actions as official in any way, shape, or form, but I'm pretty sure that they view themselves as immune because, of course, they can't act boldly and make the decisions they need to do if they're worried about prosecution.
Yeah, you make an interesting point. I don't think they're Could they rule on their own immunity? Like, we find that we are right. immune.
We have conducted an investigation and we have decided that we have done nothing wrong.
Well, that sounds like the what the Dobbs leak investigation.
That's exactly what they do on their ethics code. Yeah, that's exactly what they do on their ethics code. They say we get to determine what our ethics code is.
Well, ethics code, so antiquated. You know, old school have an ethics totter, Billy. They get in the way, don't they?
Then you who's got
recuse just because someone gave you $4 billion in gifts.
Someone buys me a plane ticket or, you know, buys me dinner or spends $500,000 on a vacation for me. I mean, that's just, you know, friends being friends, man. I've been friends with you a long time, man. You never took me on a $500,000 junket to the other side of the earth.
What's Come on, man.
I need better friends.
I took you out to Vegas and put you up at the Circus. That's close. Yeah.
I think they paid us to stay there. 844-967-2789. Chris from Sun Prairie. You're next. Welcome, Chris. What do you got?
Hey, Chris.
Uh-oh. Hello, Chris. What happened to Chris? All right, Chris, call us back.
Here's
844-967-2789.
You know, if you play big at some of the better casinos in Vegas, they'll fly you out, like the MGM Grand. Well, the Circus, they'll have you out. But they're bringing you on a Greyhound bus.
Come on, man. You buy a couple of tacos, they'll let you stay there for free.
Man.
Terrible. Man, I've stayed in some really, honestly, Crudy, some of the worst hotels I've ever been in my life. I've been with you.
You're welcome.
From when we were in college to now, to today.
You can't blame me for the college rooms we occasionally shacked up in for $29.99. Someone left the light on for us.
Hey, I'm not even saying who's paying. I'm just saying I've stayed in some really bad hotel rooms. Never was brought around the world for $500,000 by my rich friends. Only Crudy stayed in the $30 room nights. Crudy, come on. You got to step up the game, brother.
Well, I did that one night when I stayed at the Pfister in your honeymoon suite. You know, the first marriage.
See how that worked out. We are the Devil's Advocates coming back to after the 420 break. More of your calls. Love it when you dial up the political party line, talk or text. Crudy will read the text. I'll answer the lines. 844-967-2789.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal, only politics.
And we are back from the 420 break. Join us on the lines, talk or text 844-967-2789.
Gonna give Chris another try. Chris, our pal from Sun Prairie, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Chris.
Hi. I have an idea that I'd like to kind of put out there. I heard you talking about Sheldon Whitehouse bringing up an investigation. I really don't think that's going to do us any good. I mean, we're here like it's 2021 was the insurrection, and we really haven't gotten anywhere with that. We have not gotten a conviction or anything. And I think with the recent Supreme Court decision that the president with these new powers – I think he should be compelled to act, and I think what he should do is I think he should instantiate some rules on Congress, and maybe not just the president, but we need some ethic rules on Congress. We need them on the presidency, and we need them on the Supreme Court. Your last caller said something about ethics codes of the Supreme Court. My understanding was they did not have one, but I think that they all need one, and they all need to have teeth in them. And they all need them before the election. And then I think that after the president does that, I think he needs to remove the Supreme Court justices. And I don't think we need an investigation. They all lied while they were under their confirmation hearings. I think that's enough to remove them, in my opinion. I think he should remove them and replace them with justices that will uphold the Constitution and protect democracy. And then I think he needs to sign off the powers that were given to the presidency before the election. I think those powers are dangerous in the hands of anyone in the presidency. And this is the only person that I heard say he does not want them. So I really think that the president could do a huge favor before the election even happens and save democracy, regardless of who wins this election. And I really hope whoever's listening, if they're in any position of power, can talk to him and see if this is a possibility. What do you think?
I assure you, there are no powerful people listening.
Okay. Well, the president, the president's now a monarch, right? He's a monarch now. We all said it. He can do it, right?
Can he, though? I mean, under what authority? I'm not clear. Again, it's one thing to have, you know, no life. Maybe you could order SEAL Team 6, Chris, to go pop a few.
No.
But how does he, under what authority can he remove someone from a different branch of government?
Executive order. He can do an executive order, and he can do whatever he wants. He was just made the sovereign. He can do whatever he wants. We are not living in democracy anymore. Don't you know that? He is the sovereign. He is the monarch. He could do whatever he wants. They just gave that to him. He could do it.
So engaging in what we fear to be the worst kind of
dictatorial
king behavior. Hang on, you want to use the ring of power for good is what you're telling me.
I want him to give up the power, but I want him to put in place some ethics codes for all three branches of government,
if he gives up the power, then hang on, Chris. If he, commands something to happen, you must have these ethics codes. You know, the judicial branch and Congress. You must have these codes, and then he gives up the power. Then, under what authority do those codes remain intact?
Well, I guess they remain intact until somebody changes them. You know, the same way a democracy works. So if you want, people are elected, if you also, could change if, them.
I get what you're saying, Chris. I love the thoughts.
To restore the balance of powers. Restore the balance of powers. They're not there now. We lost our democracy. I don't understand why people don't get this. I just don't get it. I mean, we would attack another country if they were invading us. We are being undermined from within, and something needs to be done. I don't know. I think that the president was given these powers. They've already changed the way our government is working. And I think he should turn it back to where it was before the election, because I don't want those powers to be in the president's hand, no matter who they are.
No one ever gives up power, Chris.
I mean,
that's why they call it power. No one ever gives it back. No one ever wants to. I think George Washington's the last guy to give power back. Willingly.
Chris, I appreciate your thoughts and certainly your concern. You're right. You know, we come sometimes glazed over the fact of what's been going on here in our government and certainly in our Supreme Court and what that means for us and roll in, you know, perhaps a Trump victory, what that could mean. Given these new expanded quote unquote powers, I get it. It's concerning. I just don't know if Joe uses the power that's going to, you know, to use it for good. Everyone wants to use the power for good, right? That's always the first step. Oh, it's going to be great. Check this out. Everyone will love me. And then maybe they don't. These are tough times, Chris. I hear what you're saying. I'd love to see the exercise. I'd love to see some advisors of this current president lay out some options for him. But of course, anything he does will ripple through society. And of course, it's not just him, Trump as well. Anyone that actually takes up and uses this kind of power, SEAL Team 6 and my political rivals. Well, now we're a nation at war. You know what I'm saying? These are not good steps to be taken by anyone, Chris, to your point. And I'm not sure even broaching it with a guy who's a good human being like Joe Biden is a great idea. I don't know what the answer is, Chris.
But I heard her also say she wants to see a restoration of the balance of powers. And while I think that's an admirable thought, if it's an executive order that only lasts till the inauguration, I'm not sure to what effect. 844-967-2789, but clearly, no, Dom does not have all the right answers. Jesse, I was going to take you, but hold tight, man. I don't want to cut you short like that. Come on back with the Devil's Advocates. Dom, white nationalism, the roots thereof. We've got a U.S. senator today that claims he is Spartacus. He is a white nationalist. And you should be too.
Wouldn't it be white Christian nationalist? I mean, I think if we don't say the Christian part, we're missing a big, big part of it.
And there's a surprising cause to this rapid growth in white Christian nationalism. And we'll tell you what that is and take more of your phone calls. 844-967-2789. You're not a white Christian nationalist, are you, Dom? Part of the Republican platform is keeping out the godless communists and socialists.
Where's my government, man? Who's going to represent me if I got to worship your God? You know, again, I'm not pushing my God on my non-God on you. We'll get to it. But, it's an easy answer, folks. It's way easier than you could ever think it could be. 844-967-2789.
Montag, lieben, glauben, glauben.
The Devil's Advocates. Making radio great again.
White guy.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Josh Hawley, Senator from Missouri, Republican. Dom, today he said the quiet part out loud on Christian nationalism. At the 4th National Conservatism Conference, known as NatCon 4, Senator Josh Hawley. We're going to NatCon 4, Dom.
All right.
I bet it's a real party. The after party's there. never mind. Josh Hawley saw fit to tell the audience exactly what he stands for, and it's Christian nationalism. Now, we've got this sound. Let's play it for the people. Judge for yourself what the senator is advocating for. Rich, if you'd be so kind, play it for the people.
Some will say now that I am calling America a Christian nation. And so I am. And some will say that I am advocating Christian nationalism. And so I do.
And so I do. And he went on to say, and my question is there any other kind worth having? Now, the Missouri Republican defended his statement by claiming that American democracy was founded by Christian nationalism, which is also America's political tradition. He also spoke of replacing the pride flag on federal buildings with the words, "In God We Trust." Now, our pal Dave Weigel, who used to be with the Washington Post, went on to quote him via Twitter. They want the religion on the pride flag. We want the religion of the Bible. I have a suggestion. Why don't we take down the trans flag from all the federal buildings from which it's flying and instead inscribe on every federal building our national motto, E Pluribus Unum. No. He claims it's "In God We Trust," but our national motto is "E Pluribus Unum," you moron. Aren't you a U.S. senator? Have you taken a civics class? Now, to his credit, Hawley did offer some unexpected suggestions in his speech, such as rejecting blood and soil authoritarianism and calling on Republicans to support unions, though not public sector unions. But Hawley has given unions some token support and praise before, and has never been backed up with any resolute or specific action. And in reality, his railing against elites and professed support for the working class belies his own private school Ivy League background. Hawley has mistaken a white nationalist magazine's words for a Patrick Henry quote, scuttled bill simply to hurt President Biden, and written a bizarre book titled Manhood, extolling the virtues of masculinity. because he's the only real man, dumb.
Yeah, he was very manly when he was running away from the January 6th rioters, insurrectionist bastards.
He prefers you remember him for pumping his fist, encouraging.
Yep. Encouraging.
The insurrectionist bastards.
Ah, so Christian nationalism. What do you feel about, you know, I'm against it. I'm against it. I don't think that we're a Christian nation.
Maybe you're studying the wrong history.
Oh,
should get
here's the deal, man. Is there any reference to Jesus Christ in any of our founding documents?
Not as far as I'm aware.
No. And Christianity, Christian nationalism, white Christian nationalism, Christianity, I mean, it's Christ is in the name, right? That's Christ. It's about Christ. Christianity. And they talk about Jesus Christ all the time. All the time. Christian nationalists talk about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. What would Jesus do? Jesus.
I'm not so clear that the white Christian nationalists actually found anything predicated on Jesus Christ. There might be Christ in the name, but none of their behaviors imply what Christ would have them live as.
I understand that position, but if you're going to advocate for white Christian nationalism, Christian, Jesus Christ, they talk about it all the time. You can't get away from it. Everything's all about Jesus. What would Jesus do? Right? Abortion, all the things that they're very concerned about.
I heard the Louisiana governor hearkening back to the original lawmaker, Moses. Said Noah.
Noah,
the original ark builder.
He was the original lifeguard. There's no mention of Jesus Christ in the Constitution, in the Declaration of Independence. There may be some mention of creator, but pardon me, my creator was my mommy and my daddy. So I'm not going to get all into it like that, but if it was a Christian document, if this was a whole thing, it was all about Jesus Christ, why would the Jesus Christers, who love to say and talk about Jesus Christ, fail to put the name, the word, the message, anything to do with the person, God, Savior, Jesus Christ, in the documents? They're just not there. Why is that? Because, of course, we're not all about Christianity. We're not. We're about whatever you want. Knock yourself out. Do your religion and allow other people to do theirs as well. See, that's what it's all about. Freedom of religion and freedom from religion. And when you have this, senators in this country continue even to this day and blast it out. What, are you going to force us to war? You're going to force me. Let's talk about me. I'm going to say us. You're going to force Dominic to put the Ten Commandments up. I got to read the Ten Commandments in school now. That's what you're going to do. I'm going to put it all up everywhere I go. You're going to change the laws too, right? You're going to force me to worship. Well, what if I don't want to do that? And if you think that's okay, then is it fine for me to impose my religion upon you? And I'm pretty sure mine costs a lot more than yours does. You know what I'm saying? Because of course we go on to infinity like this. You're going to make me worship your Christian God, your Hindu God, your Muslim God, your Norse God, your pick your mythology. This is just so going backwards, and it's foolish. And for someone who's supposed to be Ivy League educated to sit here and say that we are a Christian nation, and that's the whole thing. Oh, we're a Christian nation. I'm a Christian nationalist. We're a Christian nation. You're just flat out wrong.
844-967-2789. You done with your anti-God rant?
Come on. Give me some of yours, Crudy. I want to hear it, man. You're a believer.
I'm not ranting and raving every day, man.
For Christian nationalism, that we're a Christian country. Don't let the atheist take all the air out of the room, Crudy. What does the believer think?
I believe we have Jesse on line one. Jesse from Madison. Welcome. What do you got for us?
That's some bunk, man.
Thanks for the call, guys. Say, before I make my comment, I think it's worth noting, while we're talking about whether or not the founders were Christian nationalists, that Thomas Jefferson, who was one of the more conservative of the founders, wrote an entire version of the Bible and took out all of the miracles. So we should remind our neighbors who might be Christian nationalists anytime they pipe up of that. But what I was going to say in regards to the previous caller, This is something I keep hearing over and over again, is people having some serious misconceptions about what the Supreme Court ruling about Trump's immunity does and does not mean. And I think we need to be really clear. It did not give the president a magic wand to do absolute anything that he wants or she wants. It just protects them from criminal liability, and those are two qualitatively different things. So if the president were to say, I'm going to declare an executive order that establishes, for example, a code of ethics on the Supreme Court, well, guess what? The Supreme Court didn't rule the president as a sovereign. What actually happened is the Supreme Court ruled the Supreme Court to be sovereign, and they can just make another ruling saying, no, that's not going to fly either. So we need to be realistic about what we can do with this. And, like, I get it. There's the talk about, oh, SEAL Team 6 and yada, yada. The way to restore democracy is not to degrade democratic norms and institutions further. So that's really important.
It's who should we be degrading, Jesse, just for clarity's sake?
Me. No, but what the president could do and not have to worry about criminal liability is he could say, you know what, I'm calling out the National Guard to establish more polling places so that there's not people waiting in line for 8 hours, because I'm going to enforce the Civil Rights Act, or the Voting Rights Act, and make sure that people actually get a chance to vote, between working their three jobs. That would be something that Biden could do and not have to worry about criminal liability for it. That's something that could be done as an executive order, and it would still support democratic norms instead of erode them.
Thoughtful idea, Jesse. Thanks for listening. 844-967-2789. Cindy from Appletown, what do you got for us, Cindy?
Hey, Cindy.
Well, I'm just wondering what the percentage of the population of the United States is that is actually white Christian nationalist, because it seems to me that in this case, the minority is ruling here. I thought this was a country of the majority rules.
Supposed to be, but even if we are the majority, we should not legislate or demand or somehow be tyrannical to the minority of the nation. You know, they also have the right to be Christian nationalists if they so choose, Cindy. Perhaps not with the violent overtones.
They don't have the right to make me say the Ten Commandments when I go into a public building or in school. They don't have that right. I don't care how many of them there are or how few of them there are. That's still a right that I should be able to possess. And they should not have the right, if they're a minority, to take that away from me.
Well,
whether or not they're, I think, and thank you for the call, Cindy. I think your point, Cody, whether or not they're a minority or not, you know, there are still rights of the majority, even there's still rights of the minority, even when there's a majority against them. I mean,
things like free speech, unpopular free speech.
Right. And that's what we have to hold up to, Cindy. And certainly they want to take it away. I mean, they would love it if everyone would just bow to their God. They think that anything other than their God and their way of life is antithetical to the American experience. I think that's entirely wrong. This country is great because we have all sorts of abilities and ways to express ourselves and our philosophies and our religions without fear of retribution from white nationalist Christians or, you know, pick your extremist religion. That's the whole point. People just, I'm not knocking on people for being faithful and believing in something. Knock yourself out. If it makes you feel better, please do. But how can you possibly force that upon your neighbors, friends, and strangers? You can't do that. Under what circumstances?
Now try being a woman living in America under the Dobbs ruling. 844-967-2789. Joe Biden going to speak at NATO soon. We may do a live listen-in. But right now we got Dick from Madtown. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Well, building on these powers that the Supreme Court has given the president, a friend of mine brought this up, and I agree with it totally. Joe Biden should say, tomorrow, we're going to have a free and fair election on November 8th. And guess what? It's going to be one person, one vote, no more electoral college, and it will be the popular vote that decides. How do you like that one, you right-wing hacks?
Well, wouldn't that overstep the existing constitutional electoral college guidelines?
Why? Just like everything they've done, I think it's an awesome idea, and it should have been done years ago, and we wouldn't have even be having any of these discussions about this idiot if the civil rights movement would have continued and got rid of it in the late 60s and early 70s. He would have never been president. W would have never been president. You know, I can go down a litany of people that never would have been president. It should be one person, one vote. What kind of a crazy idea is this electoral college?
Well, that also came from the founding fathers. You know, it was a way to, what, ameliorate the slave-owning states. Come back. More devil's advocates. 844-967-2789.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join us on the political party line. Talk or text 844-967-2789.
I'll read a few of the texts. Jeff, our trash text and lawyer buddy from Shorewood. I love it when Dom gets hyped. I less so. Andrew from Verona says, Jesse, I don't want thoughtful ideas. I'm pissed. Let's burn this beep to beep to the ground. And anyways, it goes on like that. 844-967-2789. Now, Dom, an interesting article I found at one of my favorite aggregators, The Raw Story. There is some speculation as to what the appeal of this white Christian nationalism is and why it's so many, what, young white males joining. And they're speculating, Dom, but they seemingly back it up with some scientific proof. It's because they can't get laid.
Oh, man.
They're backed up. They got the blue you-know-whats, Dom. This is what's leading to the white Christian nationalism. For God's sake, let somebody take these boys down to 3rd Street in La Crosse.
I mean, go to Vegas, man.
Incels, like those that are celibate involuntarily. Fortunately, that's not me.
I mean, a little bit of love goes a long way, I guess.
Well, don't you think it does? I mean, they've talked about even many drug addicts feel disconnected with people that love them and with society. And I understand disease and all that kind of stuff. But the point being is some people take these very hard drugs and never get addicted. But they have family connections. They're just partying or recreationing. Others don't, you know, don't survive. They become addicted. They die. They OD, whatever the case may be. But these disassociated white males, you know, they're ugly. And they don't attract women.
Well, and
this makes them very bitter.
Could be ugly on the inside as well. You know, they have bad attitude, misogyny. A little bit here from the Raw Story. Curdy, as it is described, lonely, sexless, straight men have become a larger force in the white nationalist movement. That's according to Ellie Reeve, author of the book Black Pill, How I Witnessed the Darkest Corners of the Internet Come to Life, Poison Society, and Capture American Politics. It's a long title. Reeve talked with Jake Tapper to discuss her findings, saying straight men who struggle to find a romantic partner can be drawn to alt-right communities. That's a big entryway into this, she said. A big entry point is, why won't women be with me? The so-called new white nationalist movement is highly influenced by incel culture, she said. referring to men who are involuntary celibate. Quote, it means that feminism has doomed them to be virgins forever because the natural order of things, less attractive women would marry them. Nowadays, they don't have to do that. Reeve said she talked to an old school former neo-Nazi and skinhead who was shocked, I tell you, by the alt-right movement of the 2010s, his reasoning misogyny. Quote, he'd seen himself as a protector of white women from people of color. But now there are all these white nationalists joking about beating up women and how they deserve to be abused, Reeve said. A little bit of love at home, man. Maybe a little hug.
844-967-2789. Dynamo Dave from Duluth. Been a while, Dave. Welcome back. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, I was wondering, I don't know how much has been published about the debate or the next one coming up, presumably with the nominee of Trump and Biden closer to the election. And I know this past one, they're saying that they weren't going to allow, the neither side was going to allow for fact-checking to occur during the debate and then shown on the screen or whatever. And I'm surprised that the Biden team didn't say, wait a minute, we're dealing with a guy who just lies. His lies come out like a fire hose. And we need, you know, somebody to kind of put a, or change a rule, say, as soon as it's known that he's starting to lie, that his mic gets cut off or something, or either candidate for that matter.
That's very subjective. My only contention, Dynamo Dave, is it really was up to Joe Biden to prosecute the case against Trump, both for his own record and to undermine the record of his opponent. And that was the hard part about watching the debate, Dave, is Joe was not effective at doing that. Could CNN have handled it differently? Should they have handled it differently? Yeah, probably. But it wasn't CNN's job every time Trump told a lie to say, you're a liar and you'll always be a liar, Trump. That was Joe's job.
Well,
is it though? I mean, come on, man.
I'm not sure. I mean,
I got a problem with that. How can I sit there? If I'm
the mic's on.
Dave, thanks for the call, man. If I'm there and Kurt, you tell me the big fat whopper lie and I'm asking you questions and that's what you come back with, I would say, well, what about this? You said this before and here's the facts. Why would you say that? You know what I mean? How do you not? I mean, I get it. Joe's got to defend himself. But I mean, in the media, quote unquote, you just take a lie as truth and truth is truth and these are treat them the same? I find that extremely problematic, man.
There were many times I wasn't exactly clear what truth Joe is espousing. Million, a billion, 100, 1,000. And I'm thinking, Joe, don't do math at the debate. I've learned this on the radio. It can be problematic. You don't always come off looking real good. So try to avoid it. I tried to teach regular Joe that earlier today as well, Dom. Come back with us. No math, we promise. Just at 5 o'clock, happier, happy hour, and you dialing us up. 844-967-2789.